This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Solomons. I'm the Education Coordinator with Taranaki Community Law, and I am the Law Lady. I'm bringing you the legal information you need to know. Well, it's all. Kia ora koutou katoa, and today we are talking about COVID vaccine law. Yes, it's finally time. I've downloaded vast amounts of information into my brain, and now we'll share that information with you. As always, this show is only general information, and your specific circumstances may be different. So if you'd like some specific advice, and this is a pretty hot topic at the moment, you can give Taranaki Community Law a call on 0800 529 878, or you can contact your own lawyer. The information on my show isn't meant to replace individual advice from a lawyer, but we would like to hear from you. So if you've got anything to share about this show or any of my past shows, you can post on the Taranaki Community Law Facebook page. If you like and follow Taranaki Community Law on Facebook and on Instagram, I also will be posting some information relevant to what I'm talking about today. So we're going to look at this COVID vaccine law stuff in several parts because it's big and there's a lot of it. Today, I'm going to talk about general kinds of stuff. Next time, I'll talk about the vaccine mandate, possibly in two parts, education and the health and disability sector, and then eventually the traffic light system. So the traffic light system is supposed to come into force by the end of November. I'm recording this before that. Hopefully by then we will actually have some information about what is covered and what is not. There is also supposed to be a vaccine mandate which covers off the same things as the traffic light system for people working in these areas. But as yet I haven't seen anything about how that will be put together. And just a heads up, the way the vaccine mandate has been put together is not ideal. So there may be some issues there. So, starting point is kind of general stuff. Now, some of this will only apply until the traffic light system comes into force, because that will supersede what we are talking about. But there are some areas of life which may not be covered by that, in which case this sort of general rules will continue to apply. So there are some existing laws that apply in a kind of general way that to a whole range of different things. So the most important are employment law, the Health and Safety at Work Act, and the Human Rights Act. So I've talked about all of these before, separately and not in relation to COVID, but I've also talked about employment and vaccination and whether or not an employee can be vaccinated in a recent-ish show as well. So I won't be covering off that employment stuff because that's largely the same as the last time I talked about it, not significant changes there, except for where people are mandated, that vaccine mandate is broader than when I talked about it last time. But if you are not covered off by the vaccine mandate, then those general rules continue to apply. So if you go to accessradiotaranaki.com, click on current shows, go down to the Law Lady, and then have a look at my previous shows on that page, you should find one about employment and vaccination. And as I said, that's still largely the case. What about health and safety, though? So, businesses and organisations have obligations to keep workplaces free of health and safety risks. And this is in relation to both their employees and other people that they are in contact with or who might use the premises, who are on site, etc., etc. It applies to any organisation that employs someone, okay, even those that are charitable organisations or working for community purposes. So the phrase that the Health and Safety at Work Act uses, and this also pops up in the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, is a PCBU, which stands for Person Conducting Business or Undertaking. Don't let the word person fool you. We're largely talking about companies or businesses or organisations. but they're conducting business or undertakings, which means that this does include charitable organisations or community purpose organisations, as long as at least one person is being employed by that organisation. So if they are purely voluntary, they're all volunteers, no one is getting paid, no one is being employed by anybody for the purposes of this organisation, then you're what's called a volunteer association, and the Health and Safety at Work Act does not apply. Okay, but if you're employing at least one person, then it does, and you are therefore a PCBU. So as part of good practice, all PCBUs should be doing risk assessments of the various activities and spaces that they are operating in and making decisions about the health and safety risks of these things. One of those health risks is, of course, COVID-19. All right, COVID-19 is a very significant health risk. If your employees get it, they could become very ill, they could potentially even die. If other people who are involved with your organisation or on your premises catch it, it's also really bad for them. So, then you do this assessment and then you need to make some decisions about needing people to be vaccinated in order to access activities or spaces or premises or the workplace in general. So this health and safety assessment, it can't just be a blanket thing where you go, right, everybody's going to get vaccinated. You should be able to go, okay, well, these are the things that people are doing and this is high risk. And this is low risk. These people who are doing this high risk thing definitely need to be vaccinated. These people who are coming to our business for a high risk thing also need to be vaccinated. Now, you don't all have to decide that only vaccinated people can access your business or things like that. There may be other ways to mitigate that risk. And or your business or organisation may want to reach unvaccinated people. Right, you might not want to say, look, unvaccinated people can't come, because you actually want them to be able to access your service. So the decision does depend on the organisation or business themselves. So it isn't a blanket thing where everybody automatically has to be vaccinated. It's an individual risk assessment, and you should be doing it across each of the different areas that your business or organisation is involved in. WorkSafe have some really helpful information about it. The government have said that they will provide some streamlined health and safety assessment. As yet, we haven't seen it. So currently, you just got to use what is in the law at the moment. Many businesses haven't done this, or haven't done a very thorough one of these, because they're waiting for the vaccine mandate or that traffic light system, so that they don't have to do it, the government will do it for them, essentially. They don't have to be the one to manage that risk. It'll be managed from an outside force. So eventually all businesses or organisations should really be doing this risk assessment, even if the end result of that is that they decide to wait for the traffic light system and then do further assessments then. So a break for our first song. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how this fits together with the Human Rights Act. And our first song today is by Trinity Roots, and this is Little Things.
Please, 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 check my eyes. For I feel I have nothing to hide. As I wipe the slate. Little things really matter. tried in times, yes, and I tried in times, they make you strong. You take your strength, pass it around.
And today we have been talking about COVID vaccine and sort of general rules around how businesses and organisations can make decisions. So we've talked about the Health and Safety at Work Act and how that applies, but we do also need to consider the Human Rights Act. So this is the piece of legislation concerned with discrimination. So the Bill of Rights Act, which is also a piece of legislation about our human rights, including the right to be free of medical treatments, when you hear people talking about their rights, or perhaps their freedoms, largely what they're talking about is Bill of Rights stuff. This applies against the government. So our rights in the Bill of Rights are largely to do with our rights as individuals versus the rights of the state. And again, I've talked about this previously as well. The Human Rights Act, which covers off sort of discriminatory practices, applies between us and other individuals as well. Okay, businesses, individuals, public areas of life. So it applies to the government, but it also applies to private businesses as well, or to employment, etc. So this has got a wider scope than the Bill of Rights Act. So being unvaccinated probably isn't one of the prohibited grounds of discrimination. So these are the things that you cannot be treated differently because of and disadvantaged. It is unlikely that being unvaccinated is one of those. There are specific grounds. The closest you could probably get is disability, but it probably isn't going to fit. Disability is more about having something that you know, like a mental illness or organisms in your body capable of causing illness. So for example, having HIV or hepatitis C, unvaccinated people don't have anything. So it probably doesn't fall within this definition of disability. So being unvaccinated in and of itself is not one of the grounds of discrimination. So that means that people can treat you differently, potentially disadvantage you if you are unvaccinated. But if the reason that someone is unvaccinated is one of the grounds, the prohibited grounds, then preventing them from accessing a group or a place or a service may be discrimination. The most significant is likely to be disability and religious belief. So if you have a disability and that is the reason that you are unvaccinated, or if you hold genuine religious beliefs that mean that you are unvaccinated. Now, exactly what those genuine religious beliefs will need to be, I couldn't say because we don't really know exactly how this looks yet. So with disability, there is a risk of harm exception. So if you are unvaccinated because you have a disability, then, and you want to say, for example, go to a bar, they can refuse you entry because there is a risk of harm, right? Because there's a risk of harm if they allow you in because you are a person with a disability who is unvaccinated. However, for religious belief, there is not a risk of harm exception. So you can't use that risk of harm if someone's reason for being unvaccinated is genuine religious beliefs. Now, you can prevent someone from being employed if it's not reasonable to accommodate them, so that reasonable accommodation specifically applies to employment. And again, I think I spoke about this last time I talked about employment and vaccination. So, you know, that sort of area is already covered off. So if you are unvaccinated for religious reasons, an employer can still choose to prevent you from doing a certain job because it's unreasonable to accommodate that religious belief. And that may well be part of their risk assessment, and that's generally okay. You can also provide services in a different way to people who are unvaccinated. So if you are a provider of goods or services, or goods and services, as long as you can still provide that service, then again, it's probably not discriminatory. So if you are providing, so for example, there was a couple of law firms that said that only vaccinated people were allowed to come into their offices in person, and that people who were unvaccinated could still see a lawyer, but they needed to do it virtually. So they were going to use Zoom or phone calls or whatever, no face-to-face for unvaccinated people. So they're still providing the service there being lawyering services, but those services are being provided in a different way. So that's also not discriminatory, provided that you are still providing the services. But accessing public places, including shops, bars, etc., education and housing, there aren't any exceptions for that. So if someone has genuine religious reasons for being unvaccinated, and they refused entry into somewhere where members of the public or a section of the members of the public would otherwise be allowed, this would be discriminatory under the Human Rights Act. And it's not okay. It is not okay to discriminate against people on the basis of religion under the Human Rights Act. However, we're only talking about situations where there is no vaccine mandate in place. Okay, so vaccine mandate trumps the Human Rights Act. So that is a piece of legislation that overrules the Human Rights Act because there is a conflict between the two. So as well as that, once the traffic light system comes into place, many of these kinds of situations will be covered off by that traffic light system. And again, that will also trump the Human Rights Act. So even though it is currently discriminatory, it will still be discriminatory, but there will be laws that explicitly allow it. But it's also very unclear how this set of situations interacts with the Health and Safety at Work Act. So where you've got genuine health and safety risks of having unvaccinated people in your premises, for example, How does that interact with people's human rights when it comes to being free from discrimination? So it's very unclear. It's a really small kind of area. So it's people who are unvaccinated, of which the vast majority of people already are vaccinated. We are looking at over 90% already vaccinated. So it's a small group of people who are unvaccinated. They must also be unvaccinated because of genuine religious reasons rather than for any other reason. And they must be in one of those specified situations under the Human Rights Act. And even then, it's not clear whether or not the Health and Safety at Work Act has any relevance to this discussion. So it would be an interesting area if Ariba gets as far as the Human Rights Commission or potentially the Human Rights Review Tribunal, but I'm not sure that it actually will, because a lot of these things will be kind of tidied up once the traffic light system comes into place, maybe. I spent a long time looking at this stuff, and I have some concerns about the way things have been drafted. So it is possible that some situations, some kind of areas of public life, will still fall outside of that traffic light system. We will have to wait and see. And so this may remain an issue for people. So break for our second song, and when we come back, we'll just wrap this up. And our second song today is Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.
You're back with the Law Lady on Access Radio 104.4 FM. And today we have been talking about the COVID-19 vaccine and how this might fit together in various situations where businesses or organisations are involved. If you've got any questions about this or any other legal issue, you can call us on 0800 529 878. As always, this is only general information. It's not meant to replace advice of a lawyer, and your specific circumstances may well be different. This is an area of law which is very new. We don't have a great deal of reference to other things that have happened in the past, so it is definitely a good idea to get some legal advice around your specific situation. Next time I'll talk more about the mandate itself and how this works. Otherwise, ka kore rawa hau, a te rawa. Well, it's alright,
as long as you got somewhere to lay with. This show was first broadcast on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, thanks to New Zealand On Air.